Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer, WNYC, and for the last few minutes of the show today, were you a New York City kid? Did you grow up in the city? New York Magazine's cover feature this week is Childhood in New York, complete with a social history and an updated Eloise and memories from 39 well-known former New York kids. Jennifer Vineyard gathered those stories, and she joins me now to talk about some famous people's New York childhoods and to hear some of yours at 212-433-WNYC. So listeners, did you grow up in New York? Did you have a quintessential New York childhood experience? I don't even want to put a category on this, so whatever it was. But we do see some things recur in the article. Did you get mugged like Matthew Broderick? Was your world multicultural before there was a word for that, like Colin Powell's? Did you realize people live very differently, not so far away, like on the next block? So richer or poorer, speaking other languages, if you moved here across town as a child, did you struggle to fit in? What do you have that kids who grow up elsewhere don't? Or what don't you have that kids who grew up elsewhere do? Call us at 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692 with your quintessential New York childhood experience. And Jennifer Vineyard, welcome to WNYC.
Thanks for having me.
So as the calls are coming in, you managed to put together this amazing collection of New York childhood memories. And it's fascinating to see the juxtapositions, like Colin Powell, who I mentioned, growing up in the Bronx and saying just around the corner there was a Spanish bodega, a Chinese laundry, an Italian shoemaker, a Jewish candy store, and a Puerto Rican bar. It wasn't until I went into the Army that I realized there were white Anglo-Saxon Protestants somewhere. And compare that to Spike Lee, who said...
He was like their family was the first black family or one of the first black families to move into Cobble Hill.
Uh-huh. And so you quote him saying, it's not rocket science growing up. As a young child, you notice that people of color are poorer than white people. That's just like the sky is blue.
Yeah. It really depends on what neighborhood you lived in and at what point in time, which decade.
Matthew Broderick and Chevy Chase and Chas Palmieri all had stories of getting beaten up. Sounds like boys had a tough time on the streets.
Yeah, Anthony Weiner told me that it was a rite of passage pretty much for any boy growing up in New York to get mugged at some point. And I heard a lot of great stories about getting mugged that didn't even make the magazine. I mean, you'd be scared at some of these stories.
Great story. What's a great story of being mugged?
Well, like Nicholas Jarecki, who directed Arbitrage, he got mugged at knife point when he was outside a club, when he was just standing outside like at 9 years old. It wasn't like he was going to the club. A lot of kids. Chevy Chase, you know, kids followed him down the street and ended up knifing him in the back, and he didn't even realize until he got home and saw all the blood. He still has the scars to this day.
Wow. Maybe because I've seen too many movies, but I'm not sure I wanted to be the mugger of Chas Palmieri. I don't know.
Well, no, not him.
All right. Let's take a call. Let's see. Who do we like here? How about Virginia in Manhattan? You're on the air. Hi, Virginia.
Hi. How are you?
Okay.
I'm a longtime caller, longtime listener. I grew up in Chelsea. I'm in the 40s and 50s. And it was my parents owned a grocery store on the corner, so we knew everybody, and everybody knew us. And it was very safe. It was very white at that time.
Or at least
Irish,
where you were.
Italians.
Yeah, in Chelsea.
Jews. And then in the early 50s, we had this Puerto Rican influx, so the neighborhood changed radically. But it was still very, very... very safe and very free. As a kid, I remember being out on the street a lot, especially come spring. We had our bikes out and jumped rope and played potsy, as we called it.
Virginia, thank you so much for those memories. So that was Chelsea. Dave in Brooklyn, you grew up in Sheepshead Bay?
Yeah. Are you talking to me, Dave?
Yeah, right? Yeah, you, Dave, yeah.
Thanks for taking
I'm talking
call.
To you, Dave.
Yes, I grew up in Sheepshead Bay, where I'm heading right now, as a matter of fact. I just remember riding my bike a lot. We played Skelly on the side streets, the thing with the bottle tops that you filled with melted wax, and you hit them, you flicked them, and you threw a board on the street. And we went down Suicide Hill, which was a hill near the Belt Parkway, on your bikes, and nobody wore helmets, of course. And we would go over the Marine Parkway Bridge and hang around in Rockaway on bicycles. And I learned to play music in the New York City public schools. And I became a freelance musician, a flutist, which I still am, in the Brooklyn Philharmonic and my own group, the Omni Ensemble. I'll give a plug while I'm on.
Why not? Dave, thank you very much. Dave from Sheep's Head Bay and going back there today. Alice in Westchester, you're on WNYC. Hi, Alice.
Good morning. I grew up in the Village, in Greenwich Village. My mom worked at NYU and in the mid-70s. And if you remember Washington Square Park in those days, there was graffiti all over the monuments, and it was kind of a wreck. And so my mom is the one who started with NYU to paint out the graffiti on the monuments and to start cleaning up the park. And one day after school, we were just putting away our stuff. And when we came back out, the park was full of police officers. And it turned out we had just missed the Washington Square Park riots when they had come through to beat up all the black people, and we're black, by the way. And so we had just missed it by a hair. They were coming in while we were leaving. But the most ironic thing is I'm now in northern Westchester, and I met somebody who also grew up in the Village, and we both knew the same people. We hung out in the same places, only we were at opposite ends, kind of the spectrum. Mm-hmm. And he tells me that he's one of the people that they were looking for that started the riot.
Wow. So she, this friend was, well, they were looking for her, and you managed to not be around at the moment. So, Alice, thank you for sharing that. Jennifer Vineyard from New York Magazine has this package on New York Kid memories this week. And you told my producer that Mel Brooks' story was one of your favorites, his memories of growing up in Williamsburg with his big brother looking out for him. You want to tell us some of that?
Well, he and his brothers lost their father at a young age, and so his older brother Irving did all this great stuff for him growing up, which he describes in detail, like teaching him where things are for his school assignments, making him a tricycle, making him skates, all these things. And it was all to make up for the loss of their father, but he tells it in such a beautiful, eloquent way. He should really write a memoir. I mean, I think even the New Yorker said that yesterday. Hmm. It's amazing stuff. And the way he just describes making an egg cream, it's just beautiful. And I think we have the audio of that on our iPad edition if you want to hear him say it.
And now we have news. The New Yorker said something nice about New York Magazine.
Yeah.
Ramon in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi, Ramon.
Hi, Brian. How are you?
Good. Where'd you grow up?
I grew up here in the Upper East Side and Upper West Side. One of the things, I grew up in the 70s here, and one of the aspects that I remember most, and I saw it in a few films, is Spike Lee's Crooklyn. Those sort of children's games and families knowing everybody down the street is an everyday occurrence back in those days. And one of the most common things for most New Yorkers who were born and raised here, they don't know how to drive a car.
That's how you can tell a true New Yorker.
Oh, yes.
Grow up not knowing how to drive a car, even when you could have got your learner's permit, which they just count the days in the suburbs until they can get that. Ramon, thank you for the memory. Were immigrants' memories different as a pattern? Jennifer, Gene Simmons, you quote, and Mario Cuomo, strong memories of poverty, although sometimes people only realize later how little they had.
Right, like Gene Simmons, he moved over from Israel, and where they were in Israel, they were so poor, they didn't even have an indoor bathroom. So just moving to New York, and even though his mom worked in a sweatshop and they were still poor, he felt rich by comparison because finally, an indoor bathroom, finally, toilet paper. So it really depended on your perspective. But yeah, I mean, to this day, he says that gave him some grounding, and he doesn't, even though he's rich and famous now, doesn't use bling, doesn't have fancy cars because he feels like that experience taught him to really appreciate what he has and not show it off. The people who moved here at a really young age had a lot of culture shock, and they experienced a lot of class disparity.
Wallace, now of Hillsborough. You're on WNYC. Hi, Wallace.
Hi, good morning. I called the other day. I grew up in Leopards Gardens, Crown Heights. I remember growing up, we had the block parties every summer. I was mugged, too. It was like when crack started coming about. The neighborhood was really clean, tree-lined streets. When I was mugged, stole my cereal, my milk, and my bag of chips. I went back in the house crying and screaming, ran back outside with a knife looking for them. We used to go to Coney Island every Sunday after church. It was really nice, but now, you know, it's different. And then we moved to Bed-Stuy. Bed-Stuy was kind of rough. There was riots with the Puerto Ricans and the cops. The marathon would go through. Then, you know, my uncle owned a bar, so there were a lot of drugs and a lot of things that started taking place. And then we moved to Stamford, Connecticut.
And Wallace, I'll leave it there. Thank you very much. Was the coming of the crack epidemic a turning point, as he cites, in the stories of the people who you interviewed for the magazine?
I don't know so much for them, because they were talking about when they were children, they weren't really aware of that as much as children. Your perspective changes. When you're five, six, seven, I mean, you have a sense that there's crime, especially if it happens to you. You have a sense that there might be problems in the neighborhood, but you're not quite conscious of it in the same way as you get older.
There's a theme, I think, of kids having run the streets then if they're of a certain age, and then some worry that they're too coddle today that runs through your feature, right? Not just that things aren't as safe as they once were, although maybe things in New York City have gone back to as safe as they once were, but at the same time worried that parents keep their kids on too short a leash.
A lot of people were lamenting what they think is the extinction of New York street games. I think a caller mentioned earlier, something like Skelly. A lot of people were talking about Johnny on the Pony, Ring Alivio, all these different games that kids would play, and they would just, you know, in certain areas of New York, there were no cars, and they would just take over the entire street and have a lookout, maybe. And nowadays, it's all playdates, it's all organized, it's all structured, and they felt like that part of New York culture was completely gone. And they wished that, you know, kids could still experience that in some way, because they feel like it made them who they are.
Allison in Manhattan with a quick memory. And Allison, we've got about 20 seconds, so pack it in. This is about your dad growing up in the Bronx?
Yeah, he immigrated from Puerto Rico in the 50s, but he used to tell us stories about swimming in the East River when he lived in the Bronx.
And taking a nice long shower afterwards, right?
He didn't say that part, but I hope so.
Thank you for that memory. Did anyone wish they'd grown up somewhere else? Did that ever come up?
I asked almost everyone that, and everyone said no. There were people who had a little bit of envy of the suburb space or lawns or pools, but they were always really happy that they got back to the city and lived here. And the people that kind of maybe got to live in multiple points or multiple neighborhoods always preferred living in the city.
Jennifer Vineyard gathered some of the stories in this week's New York Magazine cover feature, Childhood in New York, complete with a social history and updated Eloise and all kinds of stuff. Thank you very much for coming on and sharing some of this and helping take some calls with other folks' memories.
Thanks for having me.
And listeners, you can keep posting those to our webpage, or this is going on our Facebook page at facebook.com/BrianLehrer WNYC. Talk to you tomorrow.